in the mighty name of Jesus. Do you know what the only thing that counts is? There's only one thing that counts. That is faith demonstrating itself or expressing itself through love. Amen? The only thing that counts is faith. Faith in Jesus expressing itself through love. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God this morning. Amen? Man, I could just, man, just stay in that place. Oh, God is so good. But this morning, we're going to continue in his word. And you can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to continue talking about pursuing community, and my subtitle is, or my title for this morning is Pursuing Community, subtitle is Communion. And because in a few moments, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is often referred to as communion. So, how many history buffs do we have in the house? Two? Oh, this is going to be an interesting question then. Out of curiosity, does anyone know who reigned in England and Ireland from 1553 to 1558? You are right. But it wasn't just Queen Mary, her actual, they referred to her as Bloody Queen Mary. And during her reign, she burned 288 Protestant reformers at the stake. Why were they burned by her, you ask? And I'm so glad you asked. Anybody know why she burned them at the stake? She didn't like that. What'd you say? They were Protestants. Well, yeah. But here it is. Here was the central issue, the main dispute. The main dispute was the meaning of the Lord's Supper or communion. Is it simply symbolic, or do the elements actually become the literal blood and body of Christ? And it became a contentious issue, so much so that it became a point of division and ultimately death. And so I think somehow the intention of Jesus in "do this in remembrance of me" was somehow lost in translation. So this week, for fun, I decided to look up the root word of the word communion. This is interesting. Communion, from its Latin word, maybe Queen Mary should have read this, but from its Latin word, it contains the idea of community or fellowship. And I thought that's really interesting. And so I thought this understanding, this act of communion or our participation in it can really teach us some things about growing into the kind of community that God is calling us into. So having said that, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 out of chapter 10, but before we do that, let me pray. So Father, we thank you. We thank you just that you are here. We thank you for the awesome time we had just being able to worship you and declare your victory over our lives. And now we ask you to come, teacher, Holy Spirit, teach us this morning so that we can grow, so that we can become more like the Savior we were singing about this morning. And so that love that we were talking about would not just flow to us, but would flow through us in a fresh and a new way for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm just going to read to you verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf, and that loaf is Christ. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read verses 17 to 30. And here it says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. That's a kind of an ouch, isn't it? In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which one of you have God's approval. When you come together, is it not the Lord's Supper you eat? For as you eat, each one of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord that which I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there's a lot in there, but we see four things we do as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper or communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and verses 24 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So one thing we do is when we come is we remember. We remember Jesus. We remember that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what we were singing about this morning. We remember he was before all things, and in him, all things hold together. He is above all, over all, and in him, everything is held together. The universe, our planet, our lives, our relationships, our community, our family, all things are held together through Jesus. We remember that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, being in very nature God, made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant. That just says so much right there. God became nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, becoming like us, to serve us. Let that thing sink in. God, the only begotten Son of God, being in very nature God, became like us to serve us. He became nothing so that we could become something, sons and daughters of God. Now, just thinking about that, what does that say about how we ought to relate to one another? Let's think about that for a moment. We remember Jesus, who cried out as he endured the horror of the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As the full weight of humanity's sin, our sin, was pressed on him. We remember Jesus as he gave up his last breath and said, "It is finished." Hallelujah. There is no more condemnation. The penalty has been paid for, and we are free from the penalty of sin and shame and guilt that it has produced in our lives. Amen. We remember Jesus who said, "It is finished," and because of that, we are free this morning. We remember that God so loved the world that he loved every single person. That he gave everything he could. He gave that which was most precious to him, his son. And that whoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have everlasting life. And in that act, he held nothing back from us. He who gave up his son, how will he not give us all things? Amen? He held nothing back. We remember that God so loved the world, every single person. So we come, we remember Jesus is our peace. Through the cross, he has broken down every wall of division. Amen? He has broken down every wall of division between us and God and you and me. He has broken down every wall of division between us and God and between you and me. Putting to death, I like how Paul says it in Ephesians. He says, putting to death their hostility. Wow. Making for himself one new body. I love that. Think about that. He, on the cross, he put to death every wall of division between us and God, between you and me, as Paul said, putting to death the hostility that exists, making for himself one new body we call his church. Everyone perfectly joined together and members of God's family. Amen? Through the cross, he has made for himself one new body, the church. That's us. Everyone perfectly joined together and members of God's family. Everyone fits. Amen? That's a kind of a community where people can experience the genuine love of God. A life-changing encounter with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the kind of community where God's love can be expressed through you and me. A community where people can experience the genuine love of God expressed through each other. A community where relationships are formed and love is expressed in practical ways. Because there's no division, right? It's a community that reaches out to meet real needs, a community that values people, modeling the culture of the kingdom. As we come, we remember what Jesus has done and what he has shaped us into. Amen? You know, we remember just how much God loves us and values every single person. And how he brings us together into this amazing new community. So one thing we do as we come, we remember. But then there's a second thing we do. And it's anticipate or look forward. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 26 says, For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when we come, we remember. We remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. But the second thing we do, we come with anticipation or this idea, a sense of looking forward. We remember that Jesus died for us, but we also remember that the grave could not hold him. Amen? Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, give him glory this morning. Come on. Jesus rose from the dead, defeating all the power of sin and death. Amen? I like how Paul Peter writes. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. This hope is not passive. It's alive. It has strength. Amen? It's not wishful thinking. It's a hope with substance. He's birthed us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. And that inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who by faith are shielded through God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, you greatly rejoice, even though you have some trials that you need to walk through right now. I paraphrased that last little bit. We got a hope. We have an amazing hope to look forward to. We have an inheritance in heaven reserved for each and every one of us. Amen? Jesus is coming again. Every time we come, we proclaim his death until he comes. So we come remembering, but we come with this heart of anticipation, looking forward to what yet is to come. Jesus said, "There are many rooms in my Father's house." He says, "I wouldn't tell you this unless it were true." He says, "I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. No one is exempt. No one who puts their faith in Jesus Christ." Amen? "I'm going to prepare a place for each of you. And after I have done this," wow, I love this. I don't hear this. Like, I listen to a lot of preachers. I don't hear this a whole lot anymore right now. But Jesus says, "And after I've done this, I will come back and take you with me. Then we will be together." Hallelujah. Amen. We have something to live for and to look forward to. Amen. And you know the way where I'm going. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a living hope, and we come with anticipation, looking forward with joy, full of hope and expectation of what is yet to come. And because of Jesus, we have a shared hope and a shared awesome future. Amen? And so as we come to this table, we come to remember. We come remembering all that Jesus has accomplished. Secondly, we come and we look forward with hope. But then there's a third thing. We come, as we come, we proclaim. Look at verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when we come, we are proclaiming. What are we proclaiming? We're proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are proclaiming by coming and partaking. We are proclaiming that Jesus came to die as the sacrifice for our sin. Amen? We are proclaiming that salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name by which man may be saved but the name of Amen. We're proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for my sin, that he died for our sin. Amen. And there's no other name given in heaven or on earth or under the earth by which men may be saved, by which people may be saved, but the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 17 says, "We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf that is Jesus Christ." You guys all hear that wind up there? Don't let it distract you. That's the wind of the Holy Spirit just blowing over this place. And should it blow harder, we'd just go to be with him. So it's all good, right? Yeah. I love the wind of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Corinthians says, "We are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf that is Christ." So as we come, we are proclaiming that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sin. But we're also proclaiming that he is indeed our peace, who has broken down every wall of division between us and God and us and each other. We make that every time we come. Jesus says, you proclaim his death till he comes. In his death, he broke on the cross, he broke that wall of division. So we, as we come, we are proclaiming that he has made us one body. We are proclaiming that he has made us one family where everyone is welcome, where everyone fits in, where everyone has a place to belong, where everyone has value. We are proclaiming that he has brought us together and made us his body, made us one, his body, a dwelling place for his presence. Amen? So as we come, we are remembering what Jesus did on the cross. Number two, we are anticipating. We are looking forward to what is yet to come. Number three, we are proclaiming all that he has accomplished. We are proclaiming that Jesus is the only way. And we are proclaiming that he has made us one body. Amen? That's the kind of community where people can experience life-changing encounters with this living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? One body. Because as we come, we are proclaiming that the life we now live, we live by faith in Jesus. That means his life and his mind is being formed in us. Because we're living by faith, right? In Jesus. That means that his life and that his mind is being formed in us. And then Paul tells us in Philippians what the mind of Christ is. He says, don't be jealous or proud. He says, be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. He says, care about them as much as you care about yourselves, and think the same way as Christ thinks, or the same way as Jesus thought. Serve one another. So as we come, we are proclaiming that the life we live by faith in Jesus. That means that his mind and his heart is being formed in us. What's his mind? What's his heart? Don't be jealous. Be humble. Consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourself. Think the same way Jesus Christ thought. Who was in the nature, very God, came down, made himself nothing to serve us and lift us up. Amen? Let that mind be in you. And we are proclaiming as we come, that mind is being formed in us. Amen? As we come, we are proclaiming that through Jesus Christ and his power at work in us, we will model our lives to reflect the very mind and heart of Jesus Christ. Wow. I think that's a community that where people can experience the genuine love of God as expressed through you and me. Amen? So as we come, take the bread and take the cup, we remember Jesus. We look forward to the hope that is yet to come. We openly proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that entails. And then fourthly, we participate. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? So as we come, we are receiving what Jesus has done through his blood that was shed at Calvary, we will participate in this new covenant of love and grace. It's not by works anymore, but it's by grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And we're saying we receive what Jesus Christ has done at Calvary, that his blood was shed for me, and that we will participate in this new covenant of love and grace. We will receive what Jesus has accomplished on the cross as his body was broken to make us one. A community characterized by his love, his mind. And that we will participate in this new community. Amen? Did you follow all that I said there? We're saying we receive what Jesus has done, and we will participate in what he has done. We'll participate in this community of grace, in love, in this new covenant. We'll participate in this body where he has broken down every dividing wall and made us one body, characterized by his heart and his mind. So we come remembering. We come with anticipation. We come proclaiming. And then we come participating in. And this is where the church in Corinth hit the wall. And they hit it hard. There was a problem. And I'm missing a page. I'm missing a page of my notes. So I will look for that page because I have some Bible verses written on it that I want. And I have found the page because God is good. I was going to have to read it out of the NIV, but I wanted to read you these passages of scripture from the CIV. They came, they proclaimed, they did all the steps, but when it came to participation, they ran into a problem. Listen to, I want to read 1 Corinthians 11 from the CEV version. It says, your worship service do you more harm than good. It says, I'm certainly not going to praise you for this. I am told that you can't get along with each other when you worship. And I'm sure that some of what I have heard is true. Goes on. You're bound to argue with each other, but it's easy to see which of you have God's approval. So when you meet together, you really don't celebrate the Lord's Supper. You start eating before everyone gets to the meeting. Some of you go hungry while others get drunk. Don't you have homes where you can eat and drink? Do you hate God's church? Do you want to embarrass people who don't have anything? What can I say to you? I certainly cannot praise you. Basically, as Paul was saying to him, your behavior, the way you're treating each other is absolutely terrible. And as a result, in fact, it's degrading. What you're doing is degrading to this, to the Lord's Supper, this time of communion. It's absolutely degrading. Your services do more harm than good. He says, this certainly does not represent the life in the community that Jesus Christ gave his life for. And he says, in fact, that what you're doing, the way you're treating each other is a disgrace. And it's bringing more harm to the gospel of Jesus Christ than good. See, the way the communion meal was celebrated at the time, it was probably more like a kind of a potluck idea that we would be familiar with. It was more of a mealtime, bringing and sharing, with the rich bringing more, and the poor bringing less, but there would be enough for everybody. It was to be a time of just coming together, caring and loving each other. But what was happening, the food was not being divided equally. The rich took their lion's share. They'd come early and they took the lion's share. While the poor were being left out, they were being humiliated. Others were being marginalized, but it reflected the many divisions that were actually present in the church at the time. If you look through earlier Corinthians, Paul talks about one of you says, I'm of Paul, other one says of Paulus, and they had these arguments and all of these divisions in it. And now it shows up in how they were behaving at the time of communion. Cliques were formed, the poor were humiliated, others were marginalized, all kinds of not good things. Their participation did not match their proclamation. So when we come to this table, we are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done, and that he has paid the price for our sins, that he has forgiven us, and that he has removed every single dividing wall between us and each other, that he has made us one new body that reflects his mind and his heart. They would proclaim that, but their participation and their proclamation, there was a big disconnect. And as a result, what they were doing was bringing more harm to a revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ than good, because they were saying one thing and behaving in a completely different way. This was not participation in the new covenant of love and grace. This was not participation in the new community characterized by his love and his mind, serving and caring for someone. Paul says, your worship services do you more harm than good. I'm told you can't even get along with each other. What is this? What is this? And then we continue reading in Corinthians 11, verse 27. He continues, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Did you catch that? You drink this in an unworthy manner, you're guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And he goes, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that's why many of you are weak, sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. I mean, this is serious stuff. We like to read verses 24 and 25 and 26 and stop there. But this is serious stuff. And I read that and I go, wow, God, this is serious stuff. What are you saying? But God does not take lightly, listen to me, God does not take lightly those who sow division, those who marginalize others, particularly the vulnerable, those who abuse others, especially if they're saying, they're proclaiming, they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the proclamation. Every time you take this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You're proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're proclaiming you believe in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Yet you go around marginalizing people. You go around causing divisions. You go around backbiting. You do all these kinds of things that actually tear the body of Jesus Christ apart. And God does not take that kind of stuff lightly. He gave his life to make us one. Amen. The kind of community we've been talking about that hasn't come just out of our wisdom. That has come by revelation of the Holy Spirit. All of the points. God takes this stuff seriously. He does not take lightly those who sow division and says, in James, he says, mark those. I think it's in James. He says, mark those who sow division. I thought about, how do you mark them? Boom! That'll leave a mark. No, just kidding. I'm sorry, Pastor Dunst. You can correct me on Tuesday. God doesn't take this kind of stuff, marginalizing people, cliques,
divisions. So Paul instructs. He says, you should examine yourself before you come. And then the examination that needs to happen, I want to tell you, because I have people come and tell me they can't participate in communion because they feel sinful. And they don't understand God has paid the sin. We don't rehearse all of our sins. Those are, you know, God has paid the price before him. As we've received what he said, we are free, we are clean, we are covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We don't go back and rehearse all of that stuff. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? All our past, all our history, all of our sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are free and we are forgiven. And we are free to be just like Jesus, amen? And he has given us of his spirit to be just like him, right? And he has, by his spirit, poured the love of God out in our hearts, amen? That's why God takes this so serious, because he's given us everything we need to live our lives for him, reflecting his heart and his mind, amen? And so Paul instructs you should examine yourself. Because God does not take lightly that kind of behavior. He says, you should examine yourself before you come. And here's the examination that needs to take place, that needs to happen. We need to ask ourselves, how am I treating God's people? How am I treating people? Amen? That is the examination that needs to take place. How am I treating God's people? Because God values every single person, amen? God values each and every single one of us, amen? And the examination that needs to take place is, how am I treating God's people? Because we, by coming to this table of communion, we are proclaiming that he has made us one. We are proclaiming all that Jesus has accomplished at the cross. Amen? How am I treating God's people? Do I show preference? The rich were marginalizing the poor. How do we do that in our own heart? How do I show preference to some people? Am I so in division by the things I say about others? Am I telling jokes about others, mocking them in some sort of a way? I remember sitting with a group of people, and all of a sudden they started joking about one member of the congregation. And it broke my heart. Is that you, Lord? Is that emergency response team? We got to go right now. I'm in. Take me now. God is good, isn't he? Oh, I'm in a good mood this morning. And they were joking about this person, the way they looked, the way they behaved, and the way they worshiped. God convicted me so hard at that moment. He says, don't you ever judge the way someone worships me. Yes, there's decency and order, and there's things we put into order when we gather corporately. I'm not saying it's a free-for-all. Don't you tell jokes about others in a way to mock them. Don't you humiliate others. Don't you despise, they may be different than, but don't you despise. Don't you go on and on and on. Am I sowing divisions? Am I saying things about others? Am I telling jokes about them? Am I mocking them? Am I laughing at the way they dress or the way they act? Am I holding unforgiveness against someone? You know, I remember the prophetic word that came forth last Sunday, and part of it was about us stepping into the new wine. And for that to happen, we needed to forget, let the past go, and look forward. And part of that meant forgiving past offenses. Am I holding on forgiveness? Am I hurting someone with my words or my behaviors, my actions? See, the culture of the kingdom is a culture that values people. Amen? And the culture that God is establishing among his body is a culture that reflects the culture of the kingdom. Amen? And it's different than the culture of this world that wants to use people for whatever, for personal gain, and hurt people for personal gain. That's not the kingdom of God, amen? The kingdom of God is a culture that values people, where every wall of division is gone, where the hostility, through Jesus Christ, the hostility has been removed, and we are one. And it's an environment where love can flow freely, where it can flow from me to you and you to me, where people can have an encounter, a genuine encounter with the risen Savior Jesus Christ, and their lives can be changed forever, amen? Because they know they're in an environment that loves and cares for them, because it's the culture of the kingdom that they're stepping into, amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, amen? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The culture of the kingdom is a culture that values people. Amen? Am I hurting? Am I sowing division? And I turn in one person against another. Just a little word. Did you know? Gossip. The Lord takes that stuff seriously. He says, this is why so many of you are sick and sleeping. My goodness. Do we understand how serious this is? When we marginalize and hurt and abuse God's God loves people. And so Paul instructs that there should be an honest self-examination. This isn't about condemning. This is about growing. Amen? This is about moving forward. This is about stepping into the new wine of that covenant of grace. Amen? This is about becoming what God has called us to be. This is about creating an environment where people can encounter Jesus Christ. Amen? This is not about condemnation, but there is warning in it. Amen? So he says, there should be a self-examination. Is my proclamation in line with my participation? Is my proclamation in line with my participation? How am I treating people? Wow. So this morning, we come to celebrate. We come to celebrate Jesus Christ. We come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, or this act of communion. And so we come as the worship team comes. You like that segue, eh? So we come. We come remembering Jesus and all that he has done on the cross for each and every one of us. Amen? We have this shared salvation, amen? We come with anticipation, looking forward to the unshakable hope that we have in Christ, amen? We have a shared future in Christ, amen? We have a shared Savior who leads us into victory. We have a shared hope, a hope to be with him forever. Jesus is coming back, amen? We have a shared proclamation. We declare we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for me, that he is shaping me, that his mind is being formed in us, and he has made us into this new community. He has died on the cross and set us free, amen? Our sins are forgiven, and he has made us into this new community where the wall of division has been removed and love can flow freely, amen? And we come to participate in that new community of grace and love. Amen? But as we come, I want us to take a time in obedience to the Word of God that we should examine ourselves honestly. And let's make sure that there's not a disconnect between our proclamation and our participation. Allowing God to shape us. Shape us into the kind of community that cannot be dissolved by petty conflict or disagreement. Amen? A kind of community that reflects the culture of the kingdom. A culture that values people. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As we get ready, I want you, as the worship team ministers for the next few minutes, I want you to go before. In fact, let me pray. Holy Spirit, come into this room right now in a very specific way. We ask you to speak to our hearts. We ask you to search us, Lord, that our proclamation is in line with our participation. We stand here and we remember all you've done for us, Lord. And we want your mind and your heart to be fully formed in us. To love like you, to serve like you, to care like you. So come, Holy Spirit. Search us. Show me if I'm hurting people. Show me if I'm where and if I'm sowing division. Search my heart and touch those areas where I'm not treating people well. Where I'm showing preferential treatment. Search my heart, oh Lord, and touch those things. And as you touch those areas, Lord, we lay them, we repent of them, and we lay them down at the foot of your cross. And we will come to participate fully in your new covenant of grace and in the new community that you have formed by your broken body. Thank you, Lord.